Tie ball game. Shot clock off. It's in the hands of Cunningham. He misses. And Todd comes away with it. Last shot time. Ledee got it. 2.2 to go.
And TCU wins over Oklahoma State 81-78. Another very good Big 12 men's basketball game last night. So the Horned Frogs get the win over the Cowpokes. 81-78 was the final. We got high school basketball for you tonight on the radio. It'll be Beloit at Sacred Heart. And these are just JV and varsity boys games. Sacred Heart girls have a quarantine situation. So it will be Beloit boys, JV at 5, and the varsity around 6:30. Both games can be seen on live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. The varsity game can also be heard on the radio, KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. Ryan Eilert, head coach of the Trojans. Sacred Heart, a very talented group.
They're a tough team. They've got some big kids inside that are active and are strong, and then they've got guards that can knock down shots and really get out and defend. And then, you know, we've got to make sure we take care of the ball and that defensively, that we give up, you know, one shot and then rebound. And if we can do that, we'll have a chance to compete with them. But if we turn it over and give up offensive rebounds, it'll be a tough go for us.
Sacred Heart has a really good chance of winning the league title the way things are going. They've swept southeast of Saline. They did lose to Minneapolis. And there's a mess in regards to the schedule in NCAA right now, because the Sacred Heart girls basketball game against Beloit, of course, postponed tonight due to COVID situation within their program. Also, Sacred Heart Minneapolis girls and boys are not playing tomorrow due to issues in Minneapolis. And Minneapolis boys against Republic County for tonight has been postponed or canceled. So who knows how many games the league teams are going to get. Somebody might be claiming they have a league title and you haven't played a full league schedule. Kind of like football in the North Central Activity Association, which is a complete joke, when Southeast Saline claims a league title when they've played two or three league games. You know what is really amazing about the North Central Activity Association? Do you know that Sacred Heart got the vote? And I'm not trying to knock Sacred Heart. It's the rules are the rules. Sacred Heart, I don't know if they played any league games this year, but they didn't see half the league. I know that for sure. And they got the vote on who was all league.
Yeah.
How can you have an all league team if you never saw any of these teams play and you didn't play each other?
Yeah.
So how can you crown yourself a league champion if you played three league games instead of a full five in football?
Yeah.
And how can you even have a legitimate all league team when you've got teams that don't even play one another trying to vote as to, well, it's all off of popularity. That's all it is.
Oh, sure.
Or you don't like a particular school, whatever the case may be. In fact, I'm going to pull this up because I'm curious to look at it, but I found that out, and I was like, yeah, that's a great point. That's not, like, why do you even haul? You really shouldn't even have all league anymore, because especially in football. Now, basketball, you can. But in football, I mean, half the time, you're not even playing your league schools. For instance, Sacred Heart, did they play a league game at all this year? They did not. No, they did. They didn't. Ellsworth game was canceled. Sacred Heart played Kinsley, Elsleen, Inman, Smith Center, Ellenwood, Wichita Independent, Oakley, Plainville, and Remington in football. So Sacred Heart,
because Republic County was in the East District.
Right.
They weren't in their 2A now, aren't they? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Sacred Heart didn't play a single league game this year in football. Not a single league game, and had full voting responsibilities for all league and didn't see anybody in the league.
Yeah.
You tell me that all league team wasn't a bit flawed? I've talked to a few coaches within the league about it, and they thought it was a joke. And it is a joke. If you didn't see anybody play anybody in the league, you shouldn't vote on it.
Yeah.
And then you could say, well, they're a league member, they have the right to. Well, yeah, but maybe they got to start playing league schools. They only had one scheduled.
Yeah.
One scheduled. So here's the point. Don't have all league teams. Don't have league championships in football when you don't even play each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point. But I know there's a school in the league that's crowned themselves champions after playing two or three games in league play. We're champions. Okay, imagine KU playing the Big 12 and playing five conference games.
Yeah.
And everybody else plays like 10. We're champions, we're 5-0. Yeah, but we're 9-1. Don't care, undefeated.
Yeah.
Suck on that. Yeah, baby, give us a trophy. It's ridiculous and ludicrous. But it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, league for football is so much different now because you can't
because
dictate your schedule.
No, you can't. I mean, it's not their fault that they don't have a whole bunch of league teams on their schedule. Thus, don't have all league selections anymore.
I mean, league championships, league teams, just throw it away right now.
Have district teams, I get that.
The way it is.
Have district teams. That's what we've been seeing more and more, especially eight-man.
Exactly.
Well, it's like the NPL. You don't play everybody.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's the right route you go. And then self-anointing yourself as a league champion when you've played two or three games of the league seems a little bit silly to me, but whatever. I guess if you claim as many champions, you know, you're Central Florida, you didn't play in a national championship, you're undefeated and weren't allowed in, so you claim a national championship. Hey, to each their own. Everybody, you get a trophy, I get a trophy, we all get a trophy, whatever the case may be. But anyway, the point being is that with basketball right now, you may have a league school that, let's say Sacred Heart, in league goes, I'm just making up a number here. Let's say they're 6-1 and somebody else in the league is 7-2. Who's the league champ? Winning percentage? And then you didn't play two games? I don't know how you determine that. Because with these postponements now, as we're getting later in the season, there's less and less dates that fit two teams on the same night to play. That's the challenge. Yeah. Like, for instance, the boy girls are going to try to reschedule Sacred Heart and Ellsworth. They rescheduled Sacred Heart for Monday, February 22nd, but they haven't rescheduled Sacred Heart yet. You're running out of dates. And now Minneapolis has issues. How many games is Minneapolis going to end up not being able to play? Republic County's had multiple issues. Ellsworth's had multiple issues. Beloit, knock on wood, hasn't been too bad except at the very beginning of the year. So how do you handle this? You just try as an AD, working with other ADs, and try to find a suitable reschedule date. But odds are, like the Big 12, you're not going to play 18 conference games, it doesn't look like. You're not going to have enough dates, especially going to have a Big 12 tournament, to make up these games. K-State, Iowa State, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think they're going to play a second time. First of all, it doesn't matter because they're both really bad.
Yeah.
But for K-State, that's our one chance to maybe get a win. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to happen. You're going to have teams in the Big 12 that aren't going to play a full conference schedule. And I think you're obviously going to see that in high schools across the state and across the country.
Sure. Yeah.
And we're going to see this now with the NCAA, which has a better chance of getting it in because they only have six league schools. But yet they're even going to have problems.
Yeah.
So that's the challenges with all these games already messed up for tonight and then especially tomorrow night within the one league that we're talking about, the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, once you've gotten into February now, it's
getting
a
tough.
Lot of these games that it's probably just going to end up being canceled. You know, for a lot of these schools. Like you said, Beloit did get Ellsworth back on the schedule, but you know, the girls anyway. And so it's going to be tough, though. I mean, like Wilson and St. John's Tipton, they've already said that's canceled. You know, we're not going to be able to make that up. And so, you know, you move on and try to get as many games in as you can, obviously.
Right.
And that's what you do right now.
All right, so that's the game tonight on the radio. Beloit at Sacred Heart, boys basketball only. Once again, JV at 5, and then about 6:30, the varsity game. We'll have both on the live video stream at NCKSports.com. Be the Beloit Trojan Channel on the varsity boys game around 6:15 pregame tonight on KD Country 94 and KD Country 94.com. The rest of the schedule tonight, what else is going on?
We have locker room chats here tonight. Okay. We'll start around 5:10 to 5:15 with the head coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas on KD Country 94 and KD Country 94.com. Again, if you ever miss our locker room chats, they're always posted there at the website on our locker room chat podcast. Also, Beloit High School Wrestling actually does have a duel tonight, a final tune-up for the district tournament coming up on Saturday in Beloit. We'll have a preview of district coming up tomorrow on our sports cast, so stay tuned for that. But Beloit Wrestling hosting Riley County tonight in a final dual meet here this evening. So that's what's going on here tonight. We also have an NCCastSports.com Athlete of the Week that you can read about on the website at NCCastSports.com. Thunder Ridge senior Kyler Seaman, the Athlete of the Week from Cunningham Telephone and Cable, had a great two-game stretch for the Longhorns here in wins over Southern Cloud Friday and St. John's Tipton Tuesday. 14 points on 5 of 9 and 4 of 5 from the free throw line on Friday, and the 66-48 win over Southern Cloud, and then in the 50-36 win at St. John's Tipton and Beloit on Tuesday, he had a career-high 22 points, 6 of 8 from the floor, 10 of 15 from the free throw line. His previous career high was 17 against Northern Valley on January 19th, and on the season, Seaman's now averaging 10 points and 4.5 rebounds a game, shooting 58% from the floor and 68% from the free throw line. So Kyler Seaman, again, is our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. You can always read more at NCKSSports.com and also go there to find out if you would like to nominate somebody, how to do that. So again, congratulations to Kyler Seaman from Thunder Ridge, the Athlete of the Week.
All right, well-deserved, and a big win for Thunder Ridge recently over the St. John's Tipton boys, as Dusty had on the radio the other night. All right, college basketball last night, pretty crazy. Number 3 Villanova lost to St. John's 70-59. Number 5 Houston lost to unranked East Carolina 82-73. So two of the top 5 knocked out last night.
Yeah. East Carolina's hasn't been playing that great, I don't think, either. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but
number 1 and number 2, I'm telling you, Baylor, Gonzaga, 1A and 1B.
There's no question right
just,
now.
There's clearly
there's a lot of years where you're like, "Oh, maybe somebody's better," but yeah. 1 and 2 are no doubt right now.
No question. How about this crazy story with the Chiefs? What a timely phone call. It might have saved the Chiefs from either forfeiting a Super Bowl, which that wouldn't have happened, of course, or maybe moving the Super Bowl back. There were over 20 Chiefs players and staffers, including quarterback Patrick Mahomes, scheduled this past Sunday, to get a haircut with the barber who tested positive for COVID-19, per sources. The Chiefs acted wisely and aggressively and pulled the barber mid-haircut once the barber's test results came in. Daniel Kilgore, I don't know if it's a joke or if that's really what his hair looks like.
It looked like it was Photoshopped.
I thought it was Photoshopped to me. But anyway, he was in the middle of the haircut, and now he's posted his profile picture. Daniel Kilgore, the backup center, he and DeMarcus Robinson are the two that are affected by the barber. Not infected, but affected from the standpoint of they got to follow the close contact rule. So they may, once if they test negative all week long here, they can still play in the Super Bowl on Sunday. But right now, they can't participate and stuff. And he put on his profile picture there on Twitter, Instagram, whatever it was. Half of his head was shaved and half of it wasn't, showing that, yep, that's right. He was the one sitting in the chair when they got the phone call. And imagine that phone call comes, say, a few hours later.
Yeah.
What would have happened? Boy, that would have been a major disadvantage for the Chiefs. All right, why will the Chiefs run it back? That's been the motto, right? Run it back, run it back. We're going to talk a lot about the Chiefs coming up tomorrow on the sports ticket. As we look forward to Super Bowl 55, we're going to have a special pregame special at 2 o'clock, and then pregame coverage starting at 3. So 2 o'clock is when our coverage begins on Z96.3 The Lake, as it is the Chiefs. They are the favorite right now, going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I feel pretty good about this game. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, how do you bet against Brady? Well, to me, it's pretty simple. How do you bet against Mahomes?
Mm-hmm.
He's 25-1 in his last 26 starts, and we had Saran Petro, 810 WHB in Kansas City, our guest yesterday on the ticket, asking him his thoughts. If you missed that interview, it's posted at our website on the podcast page. It's Sports Ticket Podcast on katiecrunch94.com, plus our interview with former NFL player K-Stater Nick Leckie, as we previewed the Super Bowl with him last week. We'll play some sound for him probably tomorrow on the show as well. But some interesting insight from a former NFL player and then also a sports talk show host in Kansas City Falls, the Chiefs, on a regular basis. And here's Seren's take. He feels pretty good about this matchup on Sunday.
I think they have answers to whatever you want to do on the offensive side as well. And so I don't see any scenario, right? 4 scenarios to a game. Bucks win big, Bucks win close, Chiefs win close, Chiefs win big. Bucks win big is not a possibility.
No, I agree.
So there's 3 other possibilities to this game, and 2 of them have the Chiefs holding the Lombardi Trophy. I'm going to go 37-17 Chiefs. I think the offense is clicking. I think the aggressiveness is there. There's no reason to hold anything back. So I think they will be super aggressive. I think 2 weeks for Andy Reid, as we know how good he is, after a bye week now when there's, you know, no other games to have to put something on the shelf, I think you get the full force of the Chiefs. I think defensively the most underrated unit in this game is the Chiefs' defense. You know, points allowed, I think the Bucs were 6th and the Chiefs were tied for 10th, but there's a half a point difference. You know, I think the Chiefs' defense is actually the better unit. So I think the Chiefs are better on both sides of the ball. And I think I think special teams, they're better there. Dave Tobe's the best special teams coordinator around. I think that the Chiefs win. I think they get a couple of takeaways. And I think they win this game in the fourth quarter. We're already celebrating with champagne.
I think the Chiefs are going to win, too. We're going to break it down more tomorrow. I think a blessing in disguise for the Chiefs is that the Buccaneers did come back and made it interesting week 12. If the game would have gone the way I wanted it, where they're up 17-0, and if there's not a strip sack fumble in Mahomes, they're going in, it's probably 24-0, and this game is a laugher. Mm-hmm. All the narrative this week would be that the Bucs can't play with the Chiefs, that the Brady played horrible that game, the Chiefs have their number, the Chiefs are rolling, and they can't stop the Chiefs offense. That'd be the narrative. Instead, the narrative is basically it's almost leaning towards Tampa Bay because Tom Brady's on the team and they've won every game since then. And I've heard this, and this is a stat. Well, Mahomes and Brady are tied 2-2 in their matchups. Who's won the last two meetings?
Mahomes.
How did the first two meetings go and where Brady won? Brady won 43-40 in New England because the Chiefs defensive coordinator was?
Bob Sutton.
And then the AFC title game, the Chiefs lost 37-31. D4 jumped offside. If he wasn't offside or in the neutral zone, the game was over. Chiefs would have won. Brady wouldn't have won his sixth Super Bowl. He would have had five. And maybe Mahomes would be going for number three already, so the narrative would be different. Oh, yeah, and if the coin flip would have gone the Chiefs' way, they probably would have gone down and scored, won the game as well. Instead, the Patriots got it. We know what happened. Who was the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs in that AFC title game, Dusty?
One Robert Sutton.
Robert Sutton. You could have thrown an initial in there and make yourself sound really smart. Robert F. Sutton. That's the letter I come up with.
Yeah, a lot.
Don't know why. Just one that pulled out of thin air for me. Came to me very quickly. Robert F. Sutton was the defensive coordinator of those two games. Who's been the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs the last two matchups against the Patriots?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Who was the defensive coordinator when the Patriots were 18-0 and had a chance to make history? Who was the defensive coordinator against Tom Brady in that Super Bowl when the Patriots were 18-0 against the Giants?
Oh, that was Steve Spagnuolo.
Interesting how that all adds up. Listen, Brady's going to make a mistake or two because they're going to get pressure on him somehow, some way.
Oh, yeah.
And Brady doesn't like pressure at all. He can't move much. He isn't going to scramble and make a play, more than likely. The only way he's going to hurt you with his legs is he's going to dive on a quarterback sneak. That's what he's going to do. He's great to get the quarterback sneak. Patrick Mahomes, meanwhile, we know he can move around. If there's pressure off the edges, he can avoid it and still make plays. And when he rolls out to his right, he is absolutely deadly. You got the speed of Hill. You got Kelsey coming back to Mahomes. I don't know how you simulate that in practice. Now, I know the Bucs, one of the advantages they have, I think, is that they've seen the Chiefs once. So they know what the Chiefs bring to the table. Had they not seen them, I think that's a major disadvantage. But you know what? The Bills had seen the Chiefs. How'd that work out?
Worse than the first time,
exactly.
Really.
Exactly. So I think the Chiefs have a great chance of winning this game. I like their chances. I think the only thing that beats the Chiefs, in my opinion, is turnovers and Mahomes or Kelsey, somebody major getting hurt. You know, if Matthew got hurt, I don't know. If Chris Jones got hurt, I think the Chiefs could still win this game. If Matthew gets hurt, Mahomes gets hurt, Kelsey gets hurt, maybe even Hill, it changes what the Chiefs do offensively. Sammy Watkins is supposed to be back, so that'll be good to see what he can do because he was great in the postseason last year. But the Chiefs, to me, clearly should be the favorite. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind they should be the favorite. They're 14-2. They're really 14-1 and gave up a game because they played their scrubs. They are the best team in football. But yet somehow, some way, when I hear the noise, and I haven't been watching a lot of it because I don't want to hear a lot about it, but what I've been hearing and stuff popping on my social media feed is mainly like this is a dead even game and that the Bucs are just as good as the Chiefs. The Chiefs are up 17-0 in Tampa the first time. The Chiefs, the Buccaneers never had the ball with a chance to take the lead in that game. And in the NFL, that's pretty impressive. And here's more fuel to the fire, and I love it. I personally love this. I love the fact that people think the Buccaneers are going to win this game. I love the fact that the talking heads at ESPN or Fox or FS1 or whatever are going to doubt a guy that's won 25 of his last 26 starts and going to doubt a defense that's been playing very well who's had Tom Brady's number. And doubting a team that has beaten Brady the last two times and forced turnovers both times. Here's just more fuel to the fire. Ryan Clark, ESPN. Listen to this stuff.
Listen, when I look at these rosters and you go top to bottom and you take the top 22 guys on each team, there are probably five Kansas City Chiefs that are playing in this game, obviously with the tackles out that you pick. So say we were at recess, Greeny. You remember recess. I'm sure you had this in Chicago and you go to recess. Now, this part you were not a part of, Greeny. When everybody lined up so you could pick the touch football teams, you go, you know, give me Patrick. Okay, give me Tyron. All right, give me Chris. And if we were doing that and we lined up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs, we'd pick more Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think you go Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes on offense. Those guys would get picked. Maybe Tyron, obviously Tyron Matthew, Chris Jones defensively, but I feel like the rest of the dudes would be Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You look at the offensive line, you think Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously the linebacking core, the secondary. When you go pick person for person, roster for roster, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are better. Now, is it going to be that Patrick Mahomes is just so good he can overcome that? Or the Kansas City Chiefs just so top-heavy that they can be better with less? But when you look at these teams, we really have to start looking at this game and giving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers more of a chance to win. Forget what you saw in Week 12. The roster in Tampa Bay is better, and they have the GOAT. So when you look at this game and you sit down with your popcorn, with your beer, with your soda, remember, the Tampa Bay Bucs are probably the better team.
Ryan Clark, I like him usually. I don't know if somebody gave him a script to read off of because I don't know what the hell he's watching. First of all, the Bucs are the better team. Who won the first meeting? He says, I don't care about Week 12. Okay, fine. That game wasn't close until the end when the Chiefs took the foot off the gas. Tom Brady's the GOAT. What is Mahomes? Chop liver? Brady, the headline on that screenshot, by the way, coming up later on the show, how Tom Brady's improving. Really? How'd he improve? He went 3-for-7 through 2 picks against the Packers in the second half. Actually, was it 3? 3 picks. How is Tom Brady improving? He's not improving. He has a really good supporting cast, as Ryan Clark just pointed out. But here's what's amazing to me. So the Chiefs are Patrick Mahomes and a whole bunch of stiffs, apparently. And oh, by the way, he just keeps going down the line like the Bucs are better, but they're not. They don't have the better secondary. How can you tell me they have the better secondary? Carlton Davison got beat to a pulp and gave up 269 yards receiving a Tyreek Hill, 200 in the first quarter. And you're going to sit here and tell me the Buccaneers have the better secondary than the Chiefs? And the Chiefs shut down Stephon Diggs last week and Josh Allen. And the Buccaneers got 6 points handed to them. They were held to field goals and had 18 points on offense. And they were coming in one of the best offenses in football, better than the Buccaneers. The Chiefs' defense is still pretty good. So, and they're playing better. Their secondary is just as good as the Buccaneers. All right? Is their front four as good as the Buccaneers? I say yes when Clark and Jones bring it. Mm-hmm. That's a big if. The offensive line, yes. The Buccaneers have the advantage. No question about that. Who's the better quarterback? That's a no-brainer to me. That's Mahomes.
Yeah.
Who's got the better backfield? Maybe Tampa Bay. It's pretty darn even. Who's got the better kicker? Chiefs do, in regards to long distance. Okay, mm-hmm. Suckup's pretty reliable, former Chief. Who's got the better special teams? I think the Chiefs do. Who's got the better head coach? I think the Chiefs do. See, there's more than just the roster. And Ryan Clark, you can say all you want about the roster, but you know what you didn't say in that whole thing until the very, very end? Who's the better team? The Chiefs were 14-1. 14-2, you count the loss
to
the Chargers.
They're the defending Super Bowl champions.
They're also the defending Super Bowl champions.
People just, like, forget about that part of it, I think,
that must have been a fluke, you know?
It
must have been a fluke.
You're the defending Super Bowl champs, and you call it 14-2.
Right.
Okay? How is anybody the better team than the Chiefs right now?
Only one team has beaten them in the last 26 games, and that's the Raiders. And they're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers lost by 1,000 points to the Saints. Well, they beat them in the playoffs. Oh, okay. The Chiefs beat the Bills twice. They won at Baltimore. I hear this. Somebody told me Tampa Bay is the better team. They play the tougher schedule. Are you – what? What? The Chiefs won at Baltimore. They won at the Raiders, and they're playing well. They won at Tampa Bay. They won at Miami. They won at New Orleans, which the Buccaneers didn't do until the playoffs. The Chiefs have a lot of really good wins, for crying out loud. What's that?
One at Buffalo,
yeah. Beat Buffalo at home. I just, whatever. I love it. Just keep doing it.
I
guarantee you the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are seeing this. I guarantee it.
Ryan Clark can keep saying
stuff. I love it. You keep doing it. You keep doubting them. Just keep doing it. They don't win by enough. That's fine. Keep doing that. Would you rather be 14-2 or 11-5 with the Buccaneers? I'd rather be 14-2. Would you rather have all your games at home in the playoffs? Have to play 3 road games like the Buccaneers? I'd rather have the games at home. So this is just me, but I'm nitpicking a little bit here. But you can have the better roster. I don't care who has the better team, who won more games, who had the tougher schedule. That's the Chiefs, Chiefs, and Chiefs. Check, check, and check the boxes. So it's all going to be decided on Sunday anyway, so the talking heads don't matter, including Dusty or me or Ryan Clark. But I love it. It's just more fuel. I don't know why people keep continuing to doubt the Chiefs like they're a fraud or something. This is no fluke. You go 25-1 in the last 26 games in the National Football League. Nobody has done that for an extremely long period of time since the Patriots, when they were 18-0 and then lost to a Steve Spagnuolo-led defense. And that's who Tom Brady's going to face Sunday. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, but it is amazing how we just brush off whatever we conveniently want to brush off to say that, is Brady improving? Did you watch the second half against the Packers? Mahomes hasn't had that bad of a half ever in his career. So I just, You're talking about the GOAT. You're talking about the no. Mahomes is the best player in the league right now. You can talk about GOAT all you want. Mm-hmm. Brady could roll out in a wheelchair when he's 55. You can still say he's the GOAT. Do you still think they're going to beat the Chiefs in a wheelchair? Ain't happening. Okay? You can be the GOAT all you want. Be the GOAT. Be the old GOAT. I don't care. I got the kid GOAT. I got the Billy kid. I got the guy. And as long as he's healthy and plays the whole game and that offensive line does a decent job, the Chiefs will be running it back. That's my opinion.
I can't disagree with any of that.
And we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Yeah. Brett Favre, how about this interesting little nugget? Brett Favre on Thursday night, the agent for Deshaun Watson responded. Brett Favre said earlier this week about Deshaun Watson. Brett Favre. Think about Brett Favre and how his career ended. You get paid a ton of money to do a certain job and just do it and let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. Again, I think it's different day and time. It'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it. The agent for Deshaun Watson fired back very quickly. Brett Favre should probably stop throwing stones from the glass house he's sitting in. It is funny for Favre, of all people, to say something like that. When he demanded a trade out of Green Bay, he had retired, and then he demanded that they get Randy Moss and trade, and then he whined and complained and didn't like that they were going to hand the keys to Aaron Rodgers, and then Favre demanded a trade. So Favre, Mr. Favre, do you not remember? Do you took too many shots to the head when you played? Do you not remember how you handled things in Green Bay and how you got your way out? Yeah, somewhat hypocritical to say something like that. But that's Brett Favre. He's always been that way.
Yeah, and he's not afraid to talk.
No, and he likes to talk. And I like Brett Favre. He's cool and everything, but he really sometimes talks out of both sides of his mouth.